Let's continue in our studies of 1 Kings by reading 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 13 through 21. In these verses, we have the record of Israel's victory over the Syrian forces which had besieged Samaria. Remember, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 13. Suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So Ahab said, "By whom?" And he said, "Thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces." Then he said, "Who will set the battle in order?" And he answered, "You." Then he mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. The young leaders of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out a patrol, and they told him, saying, "Men are coming out of Samaria." So he said, "If they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they have come out for war, take them alive." Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army which followed them. And each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots, and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. Once again, let's consider some background notes that'll help us better understand this portion of Scripture. King Ben-Hadad of Syria had been able to put together a coalition of 32 kings, and they besieged Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. Because King Ahab of Israel would not submit to the demands of Ben-Hadad, Ben-Hadad decided to attack the city. Ben-Hadad was particularly miffed because Ahab had scorned his threat to capture the city. When Ben-Hadad had threatened to level the city, Ahab, in an uncharacteristic show of courage, said to Ben-Hadad, "Let not him who puts his armor on boast like him who takes it off." We saw that in verse 11 of this chapter. That was like saying, "Don't count your chickens before they're hatched, Ben-Hadad." Well, it was at this point that a prophet came to Ahab with the word of the Lord that the Syrian forces would be delivered into Israel's hands. We see that in verse 13. Suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Who was this true prophet anyway? Well, we don't know for sure. Maybe it was Micaiah. We'll read about the prophet Micaiah in chapter 22. Maybe it was one of those prophets that was hidden from Jezebel's massacre of the prophets back there in chapter 18. In any case, this true prophet not only predicted a victory for Israel, but told King Ahab exactly how to go about defeating the enemy. The strategy would involve sending 232 young leaders of the provinces out of the besieged city of Samaria. They would go out first, and then 7,000 troops would follow. Verse 15 indicates that these 7,000 were everyone who was left in Samaria that could fight. Most likely, these 232 young leaders were young military officers from the different regions of the kingdom of Israel. They may have been in Samaria at this time for special military training. They just happened to be there at the time of the siege. Of course, this was all part of God's timing. These young leaders we see become an essential part of God's strategy for defeating the Syrian forces. We read in verses 19 and 20, "Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army which followed them, and each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them." Although Ben-Hadad himself escaped, the Syrian army suffered great losses. Look at verse 21 once again. "Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. So much for background notes. Now let's move to doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, God is patient and long-suffering. God is patient and long-suffering. We see this great truth taught when we look at God's dealings with King Ahab. Although Ahab had been softened up, he still had not repented and turned to the Lord. God had sent a 3.5-year drought and famine upon the land of Israel. But Ahab did not repent. He did not turn to the Lord. And then Ahab witnessed a miracle at Mount Carmel when the fire of the Lord fell from heaven upon the sacrifice. But again, Ahab did not repent. Ahab had seen the powerless prophets of Baal defeated, but Ahab did not repent. And then God had graciously sent the rains back once again upon the land of Israel. But once again, Ahab did not repent. He did not turn to the Lord. And now look at verse 13. God sends a prophet to Ahab with the good news that this great multitude of Syrian forces would be delivered into King Ahab's hand that very day. And note what's added, by the way, at the end of verse 13. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Can you believe it? You might wonder, how many chances does Ahab get to repent and turn to the Lord? The point is, God is patient and long-suffering. Certainly this truth is taught in the record of God's dealings with King Ahab. Did you ever wonder why God doesn't zap all the evil people in this world right now? God is patient and long-suffering. Aren't you glad that God was and is patient and long-suffering with you? God is patient and long-suffering. Doctrinal point number two. God is a master strategist. God is a master strategist. The Lord told Ahab exactly what to do to win the battle. The 232 young officers of the provinces were to all go out of the besieged city of Samaria first, and then the others would follow. And notice how God's strategy involved the element of surprise. Look at verse 16. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. In the Middle East, no one starts a battle at noon, not in the heat of the day. So Ben-Hadad and the Syrian forces were caught off guard by surprise. Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings were sitting around getting drunk at the command post. God is a master strategist because he knows all about the enemy. So often in Scripture we see that when the enemy has God's people surrounded and is just about to overrun them, God steps in with some unusual strategy and snatches the victory away from the enemy. God is a master strategist, and he's never defeated. In the Garden of Eden, Satan thought he had defeated God when he led Adam and Eve into sin and death. It looked like the jewel of God's creation, man, was now under Satan's control forever. But God is a master strategist. God himself would become man in order to die. In that death, Satan would be defeated and the human race would be offered freedom. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The resurrection must have been an unbelievable surprise for Satan. God is a master strategist. Practical application. Practical application number one. If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. Why was Israel a winner here over the Syrian forces, which greatly outnumbered them? because they followed God's orders. They obeyed. Throughout its history, the nation of Israel never lost a battle if God's orders were followed. Whether it was the Midianites or the Canaanites or the Philistines or whoever, Israel was never defeated as long as the nation obeyed the Lord. There's certainly a lesson there for us. If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. Now, we're not talking about being a winner on the athletic field or on the golf course. No, we're talking about spiritual warfare. If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. Does Satan have you ensnared right now in some kind of situation where you're being defeated? You find you cannot resist temptation and you're being drawn into sin? If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. But you might say, I can't obey. Listen, if you want to obey God, He will give you the strength to obey. It's a matter of your will. If you want to be a winner, be an obeyer. Practical application number two. Make sure you have a better Thanksgiving record than Ahab. Make sure you have a better Thanksgiving record than Ahab. According to the scriptural record, Ahab never thanked God for anything. When the rains returned to the land of Israel, Ahab never bothered to thank God. And hereafter, God graciously delivered the enemy into Ahab's hands. He did not thank the Lord. We never read of Ahab thanking God. Make sure you have a better Thanksgiving record than Ahab. When was the last time that you thanked God for your family? When was the last time that you thanked God for the Bible? When was the last time that you thanked God for just being an awesome God? Make sure that you have a better Thanksgiving record than Ahab. Practical application number three. Don't think that God's deliverance is necessarily a sign of God's approval. Don't think that God's deliverance is necessarily a sign of God's approval. How do you think King Ahab thought of himself after God gave him the victory over the Syrians? I dare say he probably thought pretty highly of himself. And he probably thought that he had the stamp of God's approval on his life and lifestyle. Nothing could be further from the truth. Notice what God said to King Ahab in verse 13. Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today that you shall know that I am the Lord. God's purpose in delivering the Syrians into Ahab's hand was not to put a stamp of approval on Ahab. It was once again to tell King Ahab, you shall know that I am the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that God has graciously delivered you from some dilemma recently, and yet you know that you're not walking with the Lord? Listen, don't jump to the conclusion that God is pleased with your lifestyle just because He graciously delivered you from your dilemma. Don't think that God's deliverance is necessarily a sign of God's approval.